If you brought with you this morning a copy of the Word of God, I do want to invite you to open it up, please, with me to the Old Testament, to the book of the Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm number 43. Psalm number 43 this morning, and read it in just a moment or two. I'm going to be preaching on this subject. Back to America again. Back to America again. Psalm number 43. I have the New King James Version of the Bible with me today. So if you found Psalm 43 in your copy of the Scripture, would you stand with me, please, as we honor God and we share together in the reading of God's holy, His inerrant, and His infallible Word. Psalm 43, beginning with verse number 1, the Bible says, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." Pray with me, if you would, please. Lord God in heaven, we do come into your presence this morning in that blessed name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the privilege of worship. God, for the privilege of being a part of the family of God. God, we rejoice that we're able to gather here in this room today with brothers and sisters in Christ, Father, to worship. And Father, we want to be affected by you. God, we don't want to just come and go and be the same as we were when we came into the building. God, we want to be different. We want to be molded and we want to be shaped into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we give ourselves to that today. God, I pray for each of us and everyone that is listening and watching on our live feed, God, that your Holy Spirit helps us to understand the truth that we need to see today. God, I love you. And I thank you for loving me. God, I want nothing more than just to be used by you today. So, Lord, would you do that? God, I pray that you'd fill me with your sweet Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you'd give me that heavenly unction. For it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray, and it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I preach. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We look into the book of the Psalms, and we come to Psalm number 43, and we recognize that it is a psalm of King David. And we know that King David loved the Lord, and we know that King David loved the people of God. He loved the nation of Israel because of they were God's special people, that they were chosen literally by the hand of God to show to the world what it is like when people live righteously, to show to the world what it is like when people follow the dictates and the teaching of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And David comes as an author here in the book of Psalms to Psalm number 43. And David comes with a broken heart. He comes writing to a group of people that he loved greatly, writing to a group of people that he knew God had the hand of blessing upon them, but writing to a group of people that in this psalm he now calls them ungodly. They were an ungodly people, and that broke David's heart. He loved his nation, he loved his people, and he loved his God, and he understood that his people had drifted in their walk in this world. And you've heard me say probably 100 times now, when you drift, you never drift closer to God. You always drift further and further away from Him. And that's what David had recognized here in this particular psalm. He was brokenhearted that his people had drifted from God. And I thought about reading through the Psalms and came upon this particular psalm. And I think it's pretty relevant to our day, pretty contemporary to our culture that we live in the nation. And I feel a little bit like King David this morning. I want you to know that I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. And I love Jesus Christ, and He has made a marvelous difference in my life. And I stand before you today as someone who is a glad citizen of this particular world as I'm passing through it, a citizen of the United States of America. And what I believe about the United States of America is that we truly do have the hand of God's blessing upon us. We are a nation that is blessed tremendously and blessed greatly. But I also understand what David understood about the people of Israel, about the people of the U.S. We have drifted. And when you drift, you never drift closer to God. You always drift further and further away. And just something about that breaks my heart because I love the United States of America. You might say it's wrong to be a patriot, but I believe that I'm a patriot. I love our nation, and I appreciate the hand of God's blessing upon this country. We indeed are a blessed, blessed people. And there is no place on earth like the good old U.S. of A. And I truly believe that. I've traveled widely enough to know that at least I've never been to any place that compares to the United States of America. But we're adrift. We have drifted. And here we stand this morning on October the 27th, 2024. And you know what truth that I know on October the 27th, 2024? I know this. Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord today. And you know what Jesus is going to be next week? Jesus is going to be Lord next week. He's going to be Lord next month. He is Lord. And that pretty much settles it for me. But we, as a people, as a nation, we're adrift. We're not where we should be. We are not who we ought to be. We need to get back to America again. So as I'm reading through the Psalms, I'm reading Psalm 43, and it just speaks to my heart, and it gives to me some things that we, the people of God, ought to do on October the 27th, 2024. So what I want you to do this morning is I want you to keep your eyes opened and look into this particular psalm because God has some things that He wants to tell the church this morning. He has some things that He wants to tell us this day. Five things that we better be doing in this day and age. And so what I want you to do is to look with me at this particular psalm, and we'll talk about those things, and you will see those things on the board that we need to be doing this morning. Let's look at verse number one. When I look at verse number one, I see this truth there in verse number one, that we ought to reestablish the priority of prayer. We ought to reestablish the priority of prayer. Notice how David says this here in verse number one. He writes, "Vindicate me, O God, and please my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man." So what is David doing in verse number one? David, in verse number 1, is coming to God, pouring out his heart as honestly as he possibly can in prayer to God, recognizing what he is seeing. He is praying that God would deliver him from the deceitful and unjust man. The first thought here of the psalmist is to plead his cause to God. The first thing that he thought about doing when he understood that he was living in an ungodly nation was to plead to his God that God would rescue him and his people from ungodliness. He reestablished the priority of prayer. How important is prayer to you? It just seems like to me, from where I'm standing and from the journey that I've been on, it seems like to me that the older I become, the more important prayer becomes. We need to pray. And I don't want to ask you this morning to lift your hand up in the air because I don't want to embarrass anyone in any shape, form, or fashion. But how many of you spend consistent time each and every day praying for God's hand of blessing to be upon you? Thank the Lord. Do you pray? As we should. It's obvious that we need God's hand of blessing upon our nation. You know, it's obvious, right? Next Sunday morning, I'm planning on the preaching in 1 Chronicles chapter 7. Right? You remember that famous verse, 1 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14? If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Did you know that that's right in the Bible? I mean, it's right there. I mean, every one of us can turn to that passage of Scripture and we can read it. It is right there. God says, you want to be blessed? Do this. And, well, are we blessed? We probably find ourselves arriving in the same place that David did. And realizing that he was involved, he was part of a nation that he now considered to be ungodly. So it was obvious that there was not much seeking God taking place among the people of God in David's day. Reestablish the priority of prayer. You want to get back to America again? Reestablish the priority of prayer is what Psalm 43 says. Drop down and look with me at verse number 2. Notice what verse number 2 says. It says this, "For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" He continues his prayer and he speaks to God and he says, "For thou art the God of my strength. Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" That David understood that he was mourning because of the oppression of the enemy. The enemy was coming upon King David and they were oppressing him, right? That's what the scripture says. They were oppressing him. You look that word up in the original language. You look up that word for oppression in the original language, and if you speak Hebrew, you would know that that particular word is this word, lakats. That is the word, oppression, lakats. And you know what lakats means? Lakats is the root of that word means to press down. Really, the root of that word, it means this, to put a lid on it. Now, I don't watch a lot of TV. I am very selective in the things that I like to watch. And so I don't typically turn on the TV and watch the networks, but there are some things that I enjoy watching, and I pick and choose what I want to watch. And lately, for the last few weeks, I've been watching a show that is called Rattlesnake Solutions. Rattlesnake Solutions. I'm just intrigued by that, and I watch that particular show. And this is a company that deals with people that have problems with rattlesnakes. They're based out of Phoenix, Arizona. And in the Phoenix area, you can imagine that there are a lot of rattlesnakes in the Phoenix area. And so if you are a homeowner and you are walking outside in your yard and you find a rattlesnake, probably you're not very equipped to deal with that rattlesnake, right? So what do? Well, you know that that rattlesnake is very dangerous, and you want to remove that snake from your property. And so what you do is you pick up your phone and you dial Rattlesnake Solutions. And what Rattlesnake Solutions will do is they will send a trained person out to your property. And you know what that trained person will do? They will catch that snake. So that trained person will come out of there, and he will have some, I don't know what you call the tool, but I would like to say tongs, but tongs gets me a little bit too close to that snake, right? And so there's this big tool that there is a grip on the end of it, and they can literally reach down and pick that snake up. And you know what they do every time they pick that snake up? They don't want to kill the snake. What they want to do is they want to relocate that snake, take it out of your yard and move it way out to the desert somewhere so that snake can live happily ever after snake life. And so they'll pick that snake up, and they will put it in a bucket, and then you know what they will do with that bucket? Every time, they will take that bucket, and they will put a lid on it, and they'll crank that lid down. Now, if I was doing that, you better make sure that I'd crank that lid down, because the last thing that I would want is that snake coming out of that bucket, because when that snake comes out of that bucket, that's bad news, right? But if the snake is in the bucket, everything is going to be okay. You're not going to have any problems with the snake, because the snake is secure in a bucket. I put a lid on it. Now, do you understand what's happening in the United States of America? In the United States of America, there is a group out there that thinks we as evangelical Christians are problems. Okay? And you know what they've been trying to do for the last several years, for the last generation or so? They've been trying to take Christians and put them in a bucket and then put a lid on them so that they will be quiet and they will be kept out of the way. They're trying to put a lid on it, to lock it down, to lock it. That is oppression. And we are being oppressed. You see what David is saying here? He's coming to verse number one, and he's saying he's going to reestablish the priority of prayer. Then you come to verse number two, and he says this: I'm going to rely on God for strength. David recognized that there was an enemy there that's trying to crush down the people of God, to put a lid on their faith so that evil would not be bothered by it. And too many of us go quietly, and we don't rattle too much when they put us in the bucket and exile us out to the desert. And what God says is stop it. Don't let it happen. Reestablish the priority of prayer, but secondly, rely upon God for your strength. Look with me at verse number two, the second part, verse number two. He says, "For you are the God of my strength." Why do you cast me off? Why dost thou cast me off? Resolve to suffer for his cause. Anything that is worth having is costly. And here the psalmist was pleading his case, and he felt like he was being cast off. And yet he didn't stop. Yet he continued to pray. You see, God wanted him to remain faithful in spite of the opposition that he was being faced with. God wanted him to be faithful in spite of the fact that he felt as if he was being oppressed. God wanted him to remain faithful in spiritual discipline, even though it seemed like no answer was coming. You may not know how it's going to turn out, but you need to know that God does know how things turn out. And so what God wants us to do as believers is to be persistent. What God wants us to do as believers is to remain faithful. What God wants us to do as believers is to carry our cross. Be willing to suffer for the cause of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we're living in a day and age that we don't like to suffer much. We like it easy. We're soft. Soft people like soft times. And we don't want to stand up for the gospel. And we want to say, hey, I'm not going to let you put me in a bucket. I'm going to stay right here where I am, and I'm going to stand up for Jesus Christ. But we don't do that. We're willing to back down from a few unkind remarks. How dare we do that? We have brothers and sisters in Sudan right now that are literally being killed for the gospel. We have people right now in Afghanistan who are being imprisoned and tortured simply because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Their faith is growing. And we'll let a few lunatics go, shh. I hope you see, I hope you understand, I hope you feel what I'm feeling in my heart this morning. That God wants us to remain faithful. God wants us to carry the cross simply because that's who we are. We carry his name. Check something else. I want you to see the fourth thing that I see in this passage of Scripture. And the fourth thing is this. We need to realize that we are in a spiritual crisis. We need to realize that we are in a spiritual crisis. Look at your text and notice what it says here. What did David see as the answer for the problem of the nation of Israel? He tells you in verse number 3, although he doesn't come out and say, now this is the answer, but you see what's in his mind. You see what's in his heart in verse number 3. Now, notice what he says. He says in verse number 3, oh, send out your light and your truth. Let your light and your truth lead me, he says in verse number 2. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. In verse 4, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. On the harp I will praise you, O God my God. Do you see what he's saying here in this passage of Scripture? He realizes that they are in a spiritual crisis. The only answer for King David, for the nation of Israel, was God's light, God's truth, God's leading, God's holy hill, God's tabernacle. That is the only answer that David could see. You know what the only answer that we should see in this day and age? God. Seeking him. Another thing I want you to see, notice with me, put verses 4 and 5 together. Well, ultimately, what does the Lord want us to do? Verses 4 and 5. Notice what he says. He says, "Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp, I will praise you, O God, my God." He says in verse 5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." You see what David's doing here? Check out verse number 4. Check it out again. Notice what he says. This is David speaking in verse number 4. "Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp, I will praise you, O God, my God." Then there, you ever have in your life one of those aha moments? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, before this, and then you have a moment, and after this, things are different, right? Before this, you're feeling one way, and then a switch is flipped, and then after this, you're feeling completely different. And that's what happens here between verse 4 and verse number 5. Between verse number 4 and verse number 4, you know, I sense a quiet, grieving, hurting King David, right? Just, "Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp, God, I'm going to praise you, oh God, my God." Then something happens, right? A switch goes off. And then you come to verse number 5, and then you see the emphaticness of what David wants to say in verse number 5. He comes to a conclusion. He comes to a realization. He decides, you know, it's going to be different from this point forward. And he says in verse number 5, "Why? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me?" And then he says those big words and emphatic words. He cries out, "Hope in God." Those are the words that are emphatic here. Hope in God. What he realizes here is that he's no longer going to have a soul. He is no longer going to have a spirit. No longer is he going to allow the world to put a lid on him. No longer is he going to live in a box that somebody tells him that he is supposed to live in. No longer is he going to be disquieted because people don't want to hear his message. No longer is he just going to go with the flow just so he can get along. Now he comes to the realization that things are going to be different from this point forward. From this point forward, what he's simply going to do is that he is going to hope in God. From this point forward, he is going to praise God as often as he possibly can. He is going to praise him loudly because he understood that the help of his countenance and his God was helping him to remain faithful until it comes. Remain faithful until he comes. There was a young man by the name of Adrian. Adrian was a Praetorian guard under Emperor Galerius Maximian. Adrian's main responsibility under the emperor was to put to death Christians. The emperor didn't want anything to do with Christians. He tried to put a lid on them, right? He tried to lock them up in a bucket. He simply said, "If I find out that you're a Christian, I'm going to have you executed." And the guy who carried out the execution was a guy by the name of Adrian. Adrian was the boss of that. And so Adrian was faithful, and Adrian did his job. And he would put to death Christians. Christian after Christian after Christian after Christian after Christian. Adrian put them to death. But as Adrian put them to death, he noticed something in Christians. He noticed that they handled death well. He noticed that they were okay to die. In fact, he noticed that they would rather die than turn their back on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Adrian was really affected by that. One day it was time for another execution. Adrian was watching another Christian. And another Christian was doing what the previous Christians had done before. They weren't fretting it. So Adrian stopped what he was doing and he walked up to a Christian that was getting ready to be martyred. And he had a conversation. Basically, his conversation went like this. How do you handle death so easily? And that person that Adrian spoke to on that day said, it's because I'm a believer in Christ Jesus. Adrian dropped a sword. And he walked over to the emperor. And he said, put down my name, because I too am going to become a Christian. And for the next 18 years of his life, he dedicated himself to being a follower of Jesus Christ during a very inhospitable time for believers. If you're in the military, you might recognize that name, Adrian. Adrian, since that time, has been known as the patron saint of soldiers because he said, put down my name. I, too, am a follower of Jesus. You know what I say this morning? Put down my name. I, too, am a follower of Jesus. And I will not let this world put a lid on me. I'm going to stand for and I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. I don't want to be inhospitable to people, but I really do want to be faithful to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Put down my name. You know what ought to happen in this room this morning? There ought to be 100 of us right at this altar today telling our Lord and telling our God, put down my name. Regardless of what this world says, I too am going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be genuine, be real, and be authentic follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So will you say that today? Will you say it? Put down my name? Tell the Lord that. More importantly than telling him that, show him that you will. Pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father,